worship him and praise. Just in case you did ask me why I serve him, why I love him, because I find this is the best life. The more I serve him, I find out this is the best life. I couldn't live any better out here in the world. And no matter what I may attain in the natural, there's no way that I could live any better, and I have any better understanding about things that God has created, God's creation, and his what he's doing. And I'm so thankful tonight that I'm in a place where I can better understand God and better understand his creation and how I can fit in his creation. Brother Smith kept quoting this scripture about the world and the creation groaneth. They're waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of men, sons of God. You know, can you imagine living in a world where it's been, 2,000 years since there have been a people that been before this world that's given it all to the Lord. And here we are talking about being a part of a people like that that's will one day be manifested before this world. And just to have that understanding that God is going to have it, his people will be manifested before this world. And will be a people that understand God better. I won't say they understand everything about him, but they'll understand enough to where their lives will be a reflection of God. You know, how God's people will be a reflection. And like Jesus, you know, sometimes it's hard to think that you could say that. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, God want to have a people that way that be living just like Jesus by and by. You know, we want to live our life. And that's what we're striving for, and that's what we're endeavoring to do is to eventually let our life be aligned in such a way and be in tune in such a way with God until, you know, that must be our desire, you know, is to be like Jesus. You know, he said when he appeared, you know, we're going to be like him. So we want to somehow, you know, get enough for God's word in our life and get enough of his spirit dwelling within us to where it's going to empower us to want to be children of God. You know, we want to be children of God. We want to live for him. Like I say, I found out there's nothing else in this world worth living for, so why not? You know, why not live for God? Why not give our lives and to him and to be somebody that wanna measure up, somebody that wanna be counted as God's children, wanna be counted a child of God. That's what I'm endeavoring to be, is a child of God. Eventually, I'm working that way, and that's my intentions, and I want to do that. I want to give my life. I'm trying to give my life. I'm working at it. And I'm thankful tonight that I have such an opportunity. And we can come out here and begin to, even on a kind of stormy night, and put things down, things aside, and come out to the house of God and begin to lift our voices in praise unto God. You know, no matter, you know, they're saying, God, he deserves our praise, no matter. You know, no matter our situation, he's still worthy of all praise that men can give him. Sometimes you may not feel like it, but he's still worthy. He's worthy of all praise, you know, no matter the situation. Matter of fact, when you begin to praise God, sometimes you may not even feel like it, but it even helps you to feel better. And begin to lift up the Lord. Begin to lift his name up. He said, if he be lifted up, if I be lifted up from the earth, you know, we have to. From our earth, you know, I'm bound. I'm fleshly bound. So I have to begin to lift up not just my voice. I can do that, all right, but I mean my life, my mind, you know, everything. I want to be able to lift up the Lord magnify the Lord. The Bible said, just magnify the Lord with me. You know, I want to magnify his name and to realize, you know, that he's walked this way. We talked about him Sunday, you know, how Brother Smith mentioned the birth of Christ and how he was born in this world for a purpose. And he served that purpose, and he made it possible that we also could be in his likeness and be able to make it possible that we can have his spirit in our lives, and not just the wonderful Holy Ghost, but the attributes of Christ dwelling within us. We can be children of God, just like living just like Jesus. So I'm just thankful that I have an opportunity to live like Jesus, and let this mind, the Bible said, be in you. You know, it's to be in us. You know, the mind like Jesus had. You know, with to look on things. You know, set our affections on things that's not of this world, on things above. And sometimes that's hard to do, but if we begin to do that and begin to think about the things of God and what the price that Christ paid, that we have this life, that we have this opportunity. Given, you know, Brother Smith was talking about this son, and I was thinking, you know, that must have been somewhat of a risk to God, you know, to let his son come down here in a wicked world and not necessarily know every aspect about his life, the things that he went through, not altogether knowing exactly how it was going to come out, although he knew what the prophecies what was prophesied about him and everything. But no doubt it was some time that the Bible even talked about his foot feet almost slipped, you know. And talked about him praying in the garden, how he prayed as if it was drops of, you know, as if it was drops of blood. And there was time when he just prayed more earnestly. I was thinking that when you read that scripture about Jesus praying more earnestly, like he was really getting sincere about his relationship with God. And I was just thinking Sunday, I said, you know, that had to be somewhat a little bit of a risk, and with God having letting him come down here and be subjected to all these things that he was subjected to, and be subject to the cares and the temptations of the Adamic, you know, of flesh and blood. Although God was with him, you know, even the heavenly hosts, and even at his birth, Brother Smith mentioned the heavenly angels singing, you know, when he was born. But still, he had to deal with the flesh, and he dealt with it. And he made it possible that although we are wrapped in the flesh, but we got the things that we need in our life to help us to be overcomers and to be able to have, we have the power, I believe, with God's help, but we have the power that we can deal with the things that hinders us and our thoughts and whatever, you know, that may hinder us from working with God. So I'm just so thankful tonight. And we here, like I said, on Wednesday night, and it's kind of a stormy Wednesday night, but God is still available to us. He's still our God, and he's still available to us. And we have visitors here tonight. We're glad Sister Cindy's mother, Sister Elder, for here tonight. She's from... Is Fort Worth where she is? That area? Good to have her. And then Sister Elsie, sister, and her husband. Yeah. Give me their name, Sister Elsie. All right. Where they from? Dawson Springs. All right. Good to have them here tonight. Dawson Springs. All right. All right. Any other visitors?
You remember me having Sister Elsie give her testimony about when Brother Benny Morris went to Wisconsin. Her sister there, Sister Ermalee, was one of the girls that Brother Benny took and raised and helped Sister Sperry and the family.
Praise the Lord.
The other sisters passed on that was raised with her. That's part of Sister Elsie's testimony coming alive right here before you.
She's a witness. We heard that, Sister Armour. Appreciate Sister Elsie's giving that testimony. And good to see you. And so let's thank God for this night. And I'm sure there are prayers. I did hear a few people that was sick. Let's see, who were they? Sister Wilkins, remember her, Brother Stewart? Because of Keith Dotson, all right. All right, remember that? Sister, I got you. I almost said Ratliff, but it's Sister. Okay, remember your family. Brother David, okay, remember him? All right. Any other? Sister Linda. Phil and Jennifer are on their way to Sykeston, okay? All right, Sister Debbie. Okay, Sister Rice, remember her. Okay. Sister Abraham. All right, Sister Abraham's family, pray for them. Prayer requests, I guess a list of needs that we normally have before, so remember. Brother Wayne.
Brother McGowan.
McGowan, okay, brothers and sister McGowan, remember them.
Andrew and Brittany are on their way to Texas for holidays, and Phil and Jennifer is on their way to Sykeston.
Okay, so, all right.
Who else is out? Brother Matthew.
Oops, sorry, Brother Matthew. All right, brother. All right. Yeah, I understand, Brother Matthew. That's all right. Remember that. Okay. Let's I guess the ushers, if y'all wanna, I don't know if we're gonna do an offer. Let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you this night, God, for this opportunity to reach out to you.
Thank you for your goodness.
Lord, help your people.
Oh, God.
Lord, help
our needs, Lord.
Oh, blessed be your holy name, Lord. You help us. Praise your holy name, God. Keep us in need.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Each request, Lord. Oh, God, help us at our hearts, Lord, to reach out to your people. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Give your praise.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
One day the Savior said, child, come with me, for I want you out of Babylon. And now he's called me to his great people, and he's given me a chance to carry on. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go? If from God's order now I should wander, where could I go? Lord, where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go? At first I worried, got so discouraged. Old Adam said the goal I'd never make. But Jesus told me his love would hold me. But the bitter with the sweet you two must take. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go? I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. Well, I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go? If from God's order now I should wander, where could I go? Lord, where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. Well, I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go? I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. Well, I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go?
Be here tonight, be with God's people, and the weather outside may be frightful, but in here it feels pretty good. Feel the Holy Ghost, feel it come in, these wonderful songs, and then to gather together with God's people. I wouldn't have it any other way, and here lately, people have been asking me, how are you? And the only thing I could say is I'm wonderful. And I'd like to tell them I'm blessed, but they may not understand that. To you, I'm going to say I feel blessed tonight. To those out there, I just say I'm wonderful. I don't have a complaint in the world. And it's good. My wife and I, we've been talking about serving God. And how sweet he is. And I had an opportunity to spend the day with Brother Bryant yesterday. A little 20-minute job turned into an all-day ordeal, but we had good fellowship. I got to know Brother Brian a little bit better, and we talked about the Lord, and we both came to the conclusion on serving God that it's what keeps us here, and what keeps us going is that we love Him, and that He's been good to us, and that He just grows sweeter. He grows sweeter all the time. And when I left Brother Brian's house, it's a good half-hour drive from his house to the church. We're staying upstairs in the apartment upstairs. The Lord and I, we had a good talk. And have you ever just been driving along in the car and start talking to the Lord, and you can feel His presence come in just like a strong cloud, and start crying? And Him and I, we had a good conversation. And my thought was that, Lord, I love you. Love you with all my heart. You grow sweeter. You know, when I first got saved, we were, this was in California when I was 16. We signed up to pray all night. We only had to pray for an hour. And I got up to the board last, because you had to put your name on the board on what hour you wanted to pray. And mine was like at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was still living at home, so I set the alarm clock, and I was going to pray for an hour. And I thought, that won't be very hard. And I thought, well, what am I going to do for an hour? So I thanked the Lord for everything He did for me, and I prayed in tongues, and I thanked Him some more, and I rebuked the devil, and I prayed for everybody I knew, and I looked at the clock, and I think 7 minutes that went by. I went, oh, this is going to be a long hour. Well, I made it through, but I really struggled. But I'm finding, I've been in the body now for, I don't know, it's been quite a while now. And I really did feel like I knew the Lord before I came to the body. I had the Holy Ghost before I came to the body. And I've got no doubt in my mind that I spoke in tongues. But I'm telling you, when I got here, when my wife and I got here, it was like we got it all over again. It was like we got the Holy Ghost, and we got a refreshing down in our soul. When we came to the body, when we moved from California to Texas, we were seeking for something. We were kind of like that person in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. It says, by night, he said, I got up off my bed and went about the city and sought Him whom my soul longed for. Did you ever feel that way? Did you ever just feel like that you were longing for something and you didn't know what it was? Well, my wife and I, we'd both had the Holy Ghost for years, and we'd even taught Sunday school in class, and we just couldn't be satisfied with anything we'd find. We tried a little church where they would give you personal prophecy. Every time you'd go, they'd personally prophesy over you. And I thought I had the gift of a prophecy, because I didn't realize it, that they would say the same thing every time. And I told him one time, the pastor said, I think I've got the gift of prophecy too. He said, why? I said, because I know exactly what you're going to say. But it's just because it was repetitious. I was striving for something. We tried that, and then we lived in Southern California. We went down to this one big church. We drove 45 minutes to get this big church, and oh, it was big. It was grand. It was one of these things you see on TV. It's just huge, one of these mega churches. And they preached a prosperity message, and I'm not against prosperity. In fact, I'd like to have a little bit of prosperity myself. But that's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm serving God. But that was their message back there. And this man got up, and oh, this was a big church. You could have put this whole church and the gym and everything in one little corner of this church, and everybody was dressed up real nice, and there was all these big fancy cars. And he said, if you're serving God and you don't drive a Cadillac, he said, shame on you. You just don't have enough faith. And I wanted to go up to him so bad and tell him, you know, I really don't have enough faith because I'm driving an old Dodge van, but you're driving a Cadillac and you've got a lot of faith. So if you just give me yours, you could have enough faith for another one. Did you ever want to ask somebody that? I did, but I couldn't do that. And so we We tried that for a while, and it didn't satisfy. It finally got to the place, the church we were attending, we couldn't feel satisfied there either. And I remember when we moved from California to Texas, we found a large denominational church that my wife and I were members of this denomination, and we went there, and we didn't fit in either. We didn't feel like anybody loved us. You know, that's one thing Brother Smith said. He said, when you come into this and God starts to give you a vision of the body of Christ, you'll finally get to the place where nobody can run you off. But there for a while, it just seems like hardly anybody wants you. Do you ever feel that way? We felt that way before we even came to the body. We felt like, no, we didn't fit in anywhere. We were just misfits. But we were longing for something, and we knew not what it was. What was that song? I long for something, and I knew not what it was. What's that? How's the rest of it?
I searched for him and knew not what I searched for.
Yeah.
I longed for him and knew
not what I longed for. Yeah. We didn't even know. I'm sorry, say it again.
Then I found Jesus.
Yeah, then I found Jesus. We were searching for something, and we'd both had the Holy Ghost for 13 to 14 years. And life had been going good. We worked for this extremely rich man in Southern California, and we were both on the way up the corporate ladder. And everyone that worked for him, they lived down at the beach in really big homes. And I was a construction superintendent, and I was working for him. And I was on my way up. He liked me. I was building 42 luxury condominiums for him. We were ahead of schedule, and he said I was doing so good he was going to give me a bonus when I was done. We weren't satisfied in that. And when we moved, something started stirring down inside of me. I came home one day. My wife, she was satisfied. She was happy where we were. I came home, and I told her, I said, and we weren't even going to church at this time. I said, honey, have you ever thought about moving to Midland, Texas? And she says, well, no. She says, I said, well, you know, she said, we can pray about it. And I said, well, you better pray hard, because I quit my job today and we're moving to Midland, Texas. You know, there is a scripture in the book of Psalms, and it says this, that he has set roadblocks before and behind us. He says, this knowledge is too great for me. Psalms 139. Put that up there on the board. That is a wonderful Psalms. It's been many a times I've referred back to this. So I believe we have a God that is involved in our life in every area. We have a God that cares for us not only, but he leads us and he guides us. You got Psalms 139 up there. Just start at the beginning. Oh Lord, thou searched me and known me. Do you know that God knows more about you than you know about yourself? I don't care how much you think you know, God knows more about you. And he knows what it's going to take to get you to his perfect will. And God knew how to affect my wife and I. I think it was amazing that God caused us to move 1,000 miles. Did you know we were living 30 miles away from the Chino Church, Brother Mears? Great and wonderful leader in the body of Christ. Had a big church, and we'd been right by it. We'd been on that street before many a time. But God, he knew what it was going to take to cause us to move 1,000 miles, to become dissatisfied. And you know how God deals with me? He deals with you different. Everybody's different, and God, thank God that he knows what it takes. He knows us. And go ahead, leave that up there. Go to the second verse. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. That's scary. You know, when I first started to realize that God knows what I'm doing 24 hours a day, scared me. It put a fear down inside of me to know that God knows Not only does he know what we're thinking, but he sees what we're doing. That scared me. He said, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before." Go back there a little bit there. There we go. "Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me." Now I want to stop right here and say something. This is one thing that this makes me just love the Lord so much. Thank God that he gave us a ministry on this earth. Thank God that when he reached down through Jesus Christ, that was his arm, and he set up a ministry. Brother Smith talked about it. Last Bible study, the powers of the world to come. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God has laid that hand of the ministry upon our life, and I want it to affect me. But I also believe that God has a hand that's able to reach down and touch me today. God has an interest in me. And that is, he's able to reach down. He knows me. God knows me even greater than Brother Smith does. God knows me greater than even my wife does. And he knows how to get a hold of my life and to cause me to do his will. And thank God he's able to do that. He said, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." He said, "It's high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" When we moved from California to Texas, we were seeking for something, and we knew it was the Lord, but we hadn't found anything that satisfied. Like it says in the Song of Solomon, by night I rose up off my bed and went about the city. We did the same thing. And we sought him whom our soul longed for. We sought him, and we found him not. He said, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea." Oh, I love that part. Did you ever try to get away from God? You know, when my wife and I, we moved from California to Texas, and we found Brother Smith's church. He was meeting in Brother Doug York's house at that time. We found something that we had been longing for. We found out that there was a price that had to be paid. That's why Jesus said, "Buy the truth and sell it not." You know, you're paying a price today for what you have. This is, now the gospel, God's grace is free, but we do have to pay a price for it. And that is, we have to sell out to God. We have to sell out everything we have for God and let him invest in us. And we found this, and God started working on us. And God started putting pressure on my life, and I wanted to run. I remember at that time, we had an old Dodge van, and I just wanted to run. I'd been going to church for quite a while. I was 29 when I came into the body. We'd been going to church for quite a while, all of our married life. But it was the first time God had ever put that type of a pressure on me. I found out that this is different. The body of Christ is different than what they have out there. God wanted to conform me. He wanted to add me, and he was having to do that by putting pressure upon my life. And it got to the place where I just wanted to run, so I wanted to flee to the uttermost parts of the sea. I would have been happy even to go back into the world. I'd have been happy to go back to California. In fact, my brother-in-law sent me a message. He was a builder, and he said, "I can't find anybody to run my construction jobs. What would it take for you to come back to California?" And I'm making $5 an hour at that time. My van is broke down. It won't run. That old van, everyone in church tried to fix it. Brother Smith, even in his mercy, he was merciful to us. He had it towed over to the Dodge dealer and spent a lot of money. They said it's fixed. And on the way home, it broke down again. And finally, Brother Smith realized that God's dealing with me, and this van ain't going to be fixed. It's broke down for a reason. My brother, we didn't have a phone. Was making $5 an hour. Had four little children. You talk about pressure. Couldn't even call for help because we couldn't afford to get the phone turned on. The only thing we could do was write letters. I'm telling you, if that van would have been going, I would have loaded up and I would have said, "Come on, honey, let's get out of here. This can't be God." Oh, thank God. He knew what was down inside of me. He knew what it was going to take to bring me to his body and to cause me to be added to his wonderful people. And I look back at those experiences today, and I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for what God took me through because it's made us what we are today. And Sister Elsie's testimony, I know it wasn't pleasant what she went through, was it, Sister Elsie? But I'll guarantee you, you could give Sister Elsie $1 million and she wouldn't take $1 million for those experiences, because look what it's done for her. It's turned her into a saint of the Most High. Her husband's got the Holy Ghost, and I call Brother Al one of Jesus' precious little lambs. God's changed him. Look at him. Used to be, they'd fight all the way to church. She'd be after him. She'd say, Al, you got to go to church. But you know, Sister Irma, do you know when Sister Elsie's not able to make it, he comes anyway? God's done something. God's got a hold of that man. God's making him a foundation of this church here. God wants Brother Al to be a part of the foundation of this church. God's got plans for you, Brother Al. He's got big plans for you. He's changing you. He's connecting you in. You're finding him sweeter every day. But it says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And this pressure that my wife and I were under, we just wanted to run. And my brother-in-law, he wrote me a letter, and he said, you can pick your own salary. And he said, I'll send you $1,000 through the mail to help you get back home. Oh, you don't know what that did to me. That killed me. That killed me. But God, the whole time, I found something. I found something that satisfied my soul. And it's like it says in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. When I found him, I held him and I would not let him go. And that was 26, almost 27 years ago. And I'm finding that true today. He's growing sweeter and sweeter every day. And I'm not going to let go of him. I found something that satisfies my soul, Sister Elsie. And I'll tell you what we've got here, I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. Wouldn't trade for houses. Wouldn't trade for riches. Wouldn't trade for all the money in the world. I love what we found. But my brother-in-law, he wrote that, and that really put pressure on me. And I had to write him back, and I told him, I'm sorry, I can't. I found something here. And my wife started seeing that there was a cost in the flesh that we were going to have to pay. But thank God she was also sensitive in the spirit. And we used to go to church, and she'd get out there and dance, and she'd worship. And it finally got to the place where the men, they would come down front and they'd worship. By now, we were in a little small church building, didn't have very many people. And we used to do a lot of dancing. So I appreciate this church. We have people that'll get out and they'll worship and they'll pull on the spirit. But they'd play a song and everybody in the church would get out and they'd worship, even the little kids. And I'd be sitting back there looking. And it looked like they were having so much good. They were having a good time. And I wanted to get out there so bad and do it, but I didn't want to make a fool of myself. So I'd watch them. There was Brother Ayers, and there was Brother Smith, and there was Brother Doug York, and there was Brother Stanton, and each one, you know, they all kind of danced alike. And I'd watch them. I'd watch them that service, and I'd memorize how they do it. I'd say, okay, next time they dance, we're going to get out there. I'd go home and I'd practice, because I didn't want to look silly. And I'd practice in front of the mirror. I thought, okay, I've got to step down. I thought it was something that it was, you know, like these folk dances, like these Jewish folk dances. It was something like that. And so I wanted to fit in, so I got it down. And then I'd come back the next service, and they changed it on me. I thought, I'm never going to learn how to do this. But I'll tell you, I got so hungry for the Lord. I got so hungry for the Lord and what I saw that he was doing in people's lives. I remember one service I just got up and I went down there and started doing the Holy Ghost stomp. And oh, it felt so good. And the Lord really touched me and he started adding this. And slowly over the years, the experiences that we've gone through, we've been through some good times. Brother Crow, we've had some good times in the Lord. Now when people ask me, you know, about the Lord, I think, don't get me going, because it's going to take me a lot longer than 5 minutes to tell you what the Lord has done for me. There's a lot of times I'd like to tell the people, if you could see where Jesus brought me from and where he brought me to, his wonderful body, he said, oh, it's a wonderful thing God's done for us. And we're a blessed people today. But in the Song of Solomon, second chapter, it says, finally, it says, I went about the city and I asked the watchman, have you seen him whom my soul longed for? I'm telling you, if you're looking for the Lord, you're going to find it in here. You are going to find the real thing in here. And God's in here. God's working with his people. And finally, it says, I found him and took him into my mother's tent and would not let him go. Is that how you feel tonight? He's grown sweeter in our life. I feel like the Lord, he's done wonderful things for us. And I'm thankful for everything he's done for me. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the things we've gone through. It's those things that we've gone through, and when we've held on to God, that's made us what we are today. And if it wasn't for those things, the Lord would never be able to affect us in a way. But thank God he knows us. Thank God for his hand on our life. And I'm just thankful to be here today, to be a part of the wonderful body of Christ. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do here. I feel like the Lord's going to add to us. I feel like we have something wonderful to offer to the people in this area, to show them the wonderful body of Christ, and to show them love, to show people how God's people can love them. So thank you for letting us be a part of this wonderful church. We feel good. We're getting to know everybody here, and we feel such an acceptance from everybody. We're starting to love y'all, and I hope y'all are starting to love us. So, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here tonight.
Brother Smith, if I've ever sung this when you've been here or not. I know I've sung it in church before, but the Lord gave me a chorus from that verse that you were talking about, the Durham. Back in 05, I think, when Brother Smith was here talking on that chapter in Song of Solomon, so let's see if I can remember it. Oh, I found him whom my soul loveth, now I'll hold him. I will not let him go. I will bring him into my mother's tent. Yes, I found him. I found my love. Oh, I found him. Him whom my soul loveth, now I'll hold him. I will not let him go. I will bring him into my mother's tent. Oh, I found him. I found my love, yes, I found him. Him whom my soul loveth, now I'll hold him. I will not let him go, I will bring him into my mother's tent. Oh, I found him, I found my love, yes, I found him. Him whom my soul loveth, now I'll hold him. My mother's tent, for I found him. I found my love. Yes, I found him. Him whom my soul loveth, and I'll hold him. I will not let him go. I will bring him into my mother's tent. For I found him. I found my love. Yes, I found him. Him whom my soul loveth. Yes, I found him. Him whom my
That I think I have heard it once. I remembered it, but appreciate that. Every time I think about Rebecca going with Eliezer to marry Isaac, I think about you girls. It's hard to think about a girl agreeing to marry somebody she's never seen, doesn't know, and someone that her father's, her maybe was knew about. Evidently, he put his approval on it. Even Isaac, I don't know how you boys would do on that. If your daddy sent his servant to find you a wife, would that be all right? they believed and had faith that God's hand was on their lives, and of course that was a tradition of that day and a custom. I'm not so sure it was a bad custom. I think I'd do a better job of picking my granddaughter's husband than she would. She don't believe that, but I do. I know what to look for. She's in the dark. I know. I've learned something about God over the years. You know, Brother Durham was talking about being able, how God, He knows your uprising, He knows your downsetting, God knows your thoughts. God, the Bible said, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. God can watch you, and He know, and you're telling Him something about you all the time. Well, I've learned how to do some of that. I'm not God, but I do know how to watch a person. I know I can look at someone. I can tell you when a young person is going to have trouble all through their life with a certain principle that they're violating if God doesn't help them get that out of their spirit. You take a child that's 20 years old, 25 years old, that doesn't have the proper honor for elders, doesn't have the proper respect or proper reverence for an elder, and you're already 20 years old, you're going to have a hard time getting that out of your spirit. That's something that's going to stick with you throughout a big part of your life. You're going to have a hard time getting that. That's ingrained by the time it gets there. That's why it's important to get a child's spirit in a broken condition while they're little. They say that a child is most formidable in his first 3 years. And if you'll correct your child properly and consistently, by the time they're 3 years old, you won't have too much trouble out of them. They can grow up and take the wrong turn, but you'll have the right principles in their life. And I'm not just talking. I've got experience. I know what I'm talking about. I know it works. I've had people say, you know, I can't get this child to submit. I had a woman here recently come talk to me after a service. Said, this child will not, you can't make this child mine. I said, you not can, but I can. I said, I guarantee. Well, she wasn't that big. She wasn't 2 years old. I said, I blister her a few times. I guarantee you she'd pay attention to me. I said, how many times have you whipped her? She said, well, I've never whipped her. I said, well, that's what's wrong with her. Well, I know that, you know, that goes against the social workers of today. But hey, I've got news for you. They're losing. Look at the world, the condition of it. If you think they know what they're doing, you've got your head in the sand. I'm sorry to be that blunt about it, but God knows something about us by watching and looking at our lives, and you can tell something about others. That's why, you know, I think about it. I wonder what Rebecca thought about when she was on that camel ride back home, thinking about, wonder what he looks like. Wonder how tall he is. Wonder where am I gonna live? How's it gonna be? I'm sure she had lots of questions for Eliezer. Don't you know he was answering questions on the way home? Probably some things he was saying, you'll have to wait till you get there to find out. You'll have to ask him. You'll have to wait. I'm just a servant. I can't tell you everything, how it's going to be. I was just sent to get you. Oh, Lord. That takes some adjusting in my mind to think about that, how that worked. But the longer I've served God, and the more I've learned about His peace, to learn how to rest in God, I was talking to Brother Durham today. I had a dream. When was it? And last night? It was last night. And I never dream. I never have a dream. And I woke up in this dream, and I got up because there was words in it. There was one word in it. I didn't even know what it meant. And when I woke up, I thought, I got to get up and find out if that's a word. I was in some kind of a contest, or I'm not sure it was a contest or it was a test for sure. And I didn't know how I really got in it. There was three other people from where I was from in the test. But I came in it somehow or another. I didn't intend to be in it, but there I was. And I saw right away that it was a tough test. Because I thought, man, I don't know all this stuff. There's questions here I've never heard. I don't even know some of the words. There was one final question, and I knew whoever knew the answer to that question had the final. They passed, or they won whatever the reward was. And I remember in my mind, I was looking at it's like I could see a sentence wrote. And it said, God can enter into a thing, and then it said volution. And bring about the resolve, tenacity. And I looked at that and I thought, what in the world does that mean? And I thought about it, and I looked at the question again, and I thought, that is the answer. That's got to be the answer. I looked at other things that I had read and looked at, and I knew that was the answer. But I thought, I've got to write this down because I don't even know how to say it. You know, I mean, I don't know exactly what this means. I got to get these words right. I'm going to write it down so that I'll be able to answer it when it comes time for me to answer it. And in my mind, I'd look at it again. I'd try to memorize it. And I'd think, I'm never going to get this said exactly like this is saying it. And then I woke up. That's when I went and looked up. I began to look up these words. And, of course, I knew something about tenacity. But I knew that I didn't know what volition meant. I looked it up in encyclopedia and online, and it is a word. And it means a swirling or something made out of curves or lines that's round. But if you study it a little more, it has to do with an effect or a function. And what I got out of it was that God can enter into something. We can be going through a trial or a test, but it takes God to enter into that for us to get what God wants us to get out of something. You've got to let God get in it. You can't just handle it yourself. It's something this ministry's taught us. God is working in us. And He's got to work in you. And it even means twirling. You know, I thought of how the Holy Ghost works, how the Holy Ghost begins to work and stir and work something in our lives. And it brings about a surety. It brings about a prevailing something established in our lives. But to learn how to let God get in the different tests that we're going through, every once in a while God will talk to me. Sometimes it's something that maybe I'm involved in my ministry where God just lets me know, let me get involved in that. Don't do nothing. Don't, you know, let me get involved.